Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Thank you for listening to this St. Louis on the Air podcast brought to you by Lindenwood University's Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise. Examining market approaches to help solve economic and social issues, Hammond.institute.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. It's the end of the era in St. Louis and the beginning of Johnny Mac's sporting goods, and the renowned Johnny Mac's sporting goods stores are closing. Johnny Mac's has provided uniforms, equipment, and trophies for thousands and thousands of young athletes for more than five decades. Now, it's been sold, a lot of people losing their jobs. Joining me to talk about it all is Bob MacArthur, CEO and co-owner of Johnny Mac's. His father founded the company. Bob, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Don.
What's the feeling like in the MacArthur family these days?
Well, it's a roller coaster. It's up and down depending on the hour. And even I was just a little late panicking. I called Alex ahead of time and said, I'm running late. I was stopped by a coach from St. Mary's High School who's 83 years of age who reminisced and brought a tear to his eye in the store saying, I remember when your father started this and your mother – and all the boys and sons who've worked in the business all these years. So it's a difficult time.
I gather it's not necessarily something the family wanted to do.
No, not necessarily, Don. It's of course there's options and there are choices, but I think for a business decision, it definitely is something that is that needed to be done, and one that will serve the majority of the full-time people that were employed by us to carry on with the new company, BSN, in the sales of school and institutional team business. And that made up about 65 to 70% of our business. But at one time, our retail business was 50-50. Mm-hmm. And so with the changing of the retail apocalyptic times, if you will, you know, that's the change, and that's what was allowed us to get to where we are today, that the team business and the school business and the retail customer all together made it work. But when that retail part of it, 10, 15, 20%, my wife Martha is even guilty of it. The ease of today, staying at home and ordering something online. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of people, if they're honest with themselves, can really think about it, that that percentage of business that they're not giving to the local small store, if you will, or business person, is makes a difference between a tipping point of whether it's profitable or not.
Even more painful must be the fact that a lot of people might come into one of your shops and look at stuff and find out what fits and what doesn't fit, so then go home and order it online.
Well, they did that while we were in business, and needless to say, unfortunately, it is. It's remarkable and it's sad, but it's human nature, you know, that we're running these store closing sales and people are running in at 10 to 30% off and we're doing five times the business we used to do. And I thought, and people are saying, why are you doing this? And I'm like, well, if you would have kept on doing this, yeah, we'd still be here. Yeah. You know, it would make it a lot easier to stay here.
What is the number of people who actually are going to be displaced by this? I've seen as many as 160, perhaps.
Well, no, you know, full time, like I'm saying, probably 50, okay, full time, and then the rest make up a lot of the segment that is more of the part time. And you know, the part that was really nice though is that was easy for us in that aspect is that we used to have students that were athletes also, and it was great to hire them. They loved it, and it worked. But guess what? When it's baseball season, what are they doing? They're playing baseball. They can't work. So that made that difficult in regards to the schedules. But
why are these people actually going to lose their jobs? I mean, is the BSN not going to continue maintaining the stores?
No, they won't. They won't do the retail aspect of it, and they don't. And I think that's the thing that's different today is that there's a decision either – you're one or the other. Doing both makes it awful, awful difficult. And especially with the sales channel now that we attempted to do, and we did a little bit of it, but it was, again, a great capital expenditure in regards to doing the internet-type sales. Adding that aspect of it was very costly.
I don't understand one aspect of this. That being, why a company would come in and want to buy you out if your sales are declining. I mean, that doesn't seem like a good investment necessarily.
Oh, well, that's on the retail side of the business. Right. And so this company, you know, has been, and others, but mostly this particular company has been, in, you know, at one time or another over, you know, 15, 20 years, inquired about wanting to acquire us. And it had never gotten to the point because, again, everything together was working. And so the retail aspect, though, that is not an interest of theirs. Their platform for doing the online sales along with having the sales force in the field is what works for them.
So no stores. The stores are going to be closed on both sides of the river, obviously.
Well, we're also up in Michigan, and they are going to maintain an office up there that we have in Lansing, and that's been up there for 25 years. And we have a great individual, Mike Stewart, who runs that for us up there, and he'll remain. And then also down here, our Watson store location, well, they'll lease that office and sales floor, the sales floor for coaches to come in and still see sales reps there and things like that.
The other properties, do you own the other properties?
And we do own some of them, and others we do lease.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the memories. So now that we've gone through the business aspect of this, I've been reading a little bit about things that you've been going through in terms of thinking back on the early days. Give us some sense of how this whole thing got started 50-plus years ago.
Well, it all started, of course, with my father, who was an orphan himself, and he really found that through sports, it was his way of – that's what filled his soul. That's what it really got him. So he umpired. He officiated Big Eight football officials. He started a store. He was and he had five boys behind him that could help out along with a great spouse that did a lot also in regards to anything and everything it took. And we started in a Danny Donuts shop on Crestwood. And before that, he was in a store before called John MacArthur Sporting Goods, and it was on South Grand where the old Giuseppe's used to be. Mm-hmm. And so that did not work out, but then he kept on. His perseverance was just phenomenal, and he just kept on working. And so...
And became an institution. There's no question. Do you have any idea how many teams or how many individuals you've outfitted over all these years?
I have no idea. And it's only now, because a lot of times I wasn't on the floor. And that's the difference today also, is that a lot of people didn't need to come into the store anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's – my father used to work the door when he was retired, even probably within 10 years ago. And he would work the door at Sam's Club, and people would walk in the door, and he'd say, "Hey, number 63," because he would remember that particular athlete going to Vianney High School or Lindbergh where he officiated, and he had a phenomenal recall in regards to how many people he touched.
Individual customers and who they were, and kept coming back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about your own participation in it? I mean, your dad put you to work pretty early, as I understand it.
He sure did. And the thing that I came to realize today, and I still tell him, and it's hard to communicate to him, but the things that, you know, I would complain about the most, just like I do with my sons would do to me, is the things today that I'm so grateful for. And that was the fact to teach me and all my brothers how to work. And he was a driven man, and he was those are the things that we were taught. I mean, we would cut through the backyard to go to school. We'd come home, and Mom would have a message there saying, eat the sandwich, and when you're finished, come on up to work. And then we'd still do our school work and work in the business also. And I would stand three wood soda cases by the engraving machine so I could reach the machine when I was 10 years of age with my brother engraving trophies and getting paid a penny a letter to do that. So those are the tremendous memories. Or driving the truck when I'd come down to 10th Street in Washington, and my father would tell me to go up on the 12th floor and meet Mr. Shanker. He's going to have one of those leather sleeve award jackets for you for St. Mary's to pick up. And when you pick it up, then I want you to stop off at Morgan Ford and see Dorothy Zebowitz. She'll be there with one of the chenille patches, and you'll wait for that while she sews it on and then bring that back to me. Those are the kind of things that we started with. Funk Cap Company used to be down in Washington, so it was still during those times that those things were being made here.
And that's the kind of thing that you can't do with an online shopping experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, Don, I think, you know, a lot of times people are saying, you know, I'm sad to see this go. But at the same time, they need to realize that by their habits and what they're doing, they're going to get what they're asking for. You cannot. It's very difficult with rising cost to continue to provide that type of service. Mm-hmm. And when you have an influx also of your suppliers selling online directly also, Nike and even like Rawlings locally in town, you know, they sell online also.
What exactly do you mean when you say the customers will get what they're asking for?
In a price.
Yeah.
Price. And that they say that, you know, I buy all my things here. Well, like I said before, if they think about it, they may realize that, well, yeah, before I come to the store now, I do go online and check and see about who's got the best price. And the worst kind of customer you may have is the silent customer who comes in and realizes that he was able to pick up that bat or a glove and find out what it was that he wanted, but then he'll go home and find maybe someplace else where it was cheaper.
But the horse is out of the barn on this one, I think, Bob, don't you, in terms of people are turning to this online thing and there's no turning back, I would suspect.
I have to agree with you, Don. I mean, there are, you know, companies that are, again, continuing to figure it out and make it work to where they're only doing maybe the stores and the brick and mortar, and they are doing the online that complements that. However, you know, I can't count how many different competitors that we've gone through our time of all coming in that we've been able to sustain and stay alive. But it has gotten to the point again where there's Dick's Sporting Goods, the large 500-pound gorilla on that side of it, if you will. And now there's another one, of course, Academy, that took Sports Authority's place. Well, during that lull of when Sports Authority went out, we thought, oh, wow, this is great, we'll have. And then right behind it comes another one. And it just doesn't stop in regards to flooding the market and places to shop.
We're talking with Bob MacArthur, who is the co-owner of Johnny Mac's Sporting Goods stores, which are soon to be no more as the organization has been sold. Is there anything, Bob, that you might have been able to do, do you think, a year or two back to keep this from happening?
Don, it would have taken a big shift in regards to only maybe doing the team and school side of the business. And maybe investing earlier and sooner into the internet type of business, the e-commerce too. But the way we were positioned with the trying to do the three different sales channels, if you will, one is what we call the team business, is where we had the gentlemen that are within the stores, and then we had the sales road salesmen who would go out and call into schools. And those were two different types of accounts. And the thing that's also changed is the fact that these large clubs, that soccer and baseball, and everybody's playing on a select team now, that has also changed the business, because we have businesses within a business that are also taking pieces of that market, if you will. They're so large that they command, you know, discounts directly with the manufacturers, and therefore you can still handle those accounts, but the margin in order to do that is not as great as it used to be.
You know, what's happened to you and other small businesses, not yours was that small, but it reminds me a lot of what happens when Walmart comes to town. You have the big box sitting there, and all of a sudden the mom-and-pop stores go down.
Yeah, there's that kind of comparison, and it didn't really hit the sporting good business until maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, really hard when, again, Nike, who is 20% of our business, decided to use Amazon for their actual platform and fulfillment And so that makes it pretty difficult to compete with.
Gee, Nike's in a little bit of a jam right now as a result of one of its shoes virtually exploding on the basketball court during a Duke game and injuring a star player. Stocks went down rather dramatically after that.
That'll happen. Yeah. And again, I'm from the political side of things and how, you know, Under Armour and Kevin Plank makes a statement at one time supporting Trump, for example, and what that caused to the shares to fall also when that happened. And so
I didn't realize that your reach was as extensive as it is. You're talking about places in Michigan. You've had some places in Illinois as well. And where how broad was your reach during the heyday?
Well, we've hovered about that, amount of stretch of business for some time. But, Springfield, Missouri, we had a store. We have a store down there that's 200 miles away. And then Swansea, Illinois, and Florissant, and Baldwin, St. Peter's, and up into Lansing, Michigan. And then outside of Detroit and Rochester Hills, we had a sales office. And then Grand Rapids was the latest store that we had opened just about a year ago.
You're having a lot of sales these days, right? Tell us what's going on in these stores now as you are unloading inventory.
Yeah, it's, it is one again that we really didn't ever advertise about, gimmicks or anything else. Our price was what our price was, and it was amazing that we would find people who thought our prices were fair. And, of course, we always had those who thought we were high. Mm-hmm. And we all know that it's no difference between a Deerberg's and a Schnucks. And they all vary. And but at the same time, we do have right now, in fact, on Thursdays it changes. And it will be through approximately 90 days, and we're about 10 days through the sale, that we are running now from 20 to 40% off all items in the store. So, it's rather busy right now. And so retail at this time is good.
Yeah, but you're taking a hit, I assume, if you're selling at that kind of a discount.
Yes. And it's always been one that, again, do you concentrate on whether it's the margin for a smaller amount of sales or high amount of advertising and traffic to drive, the sales this way. But like I said, our philosophy worked for many years. And they always did say there's two times you always make a lot of, most of the money, and that's when you go in business for grand openings and then when you're going out of business. But this is the first time I ever experienced that, of course, and the last time I ever want to experience, because it's very difficult.
Yeah. Your dad's 91, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you mentioned that the family is sad and it's like a kick in the stomach and what have. How about him specifically?
Well, unfortunately, he's had a stroke and he's in a Delmar Garden South in a nursing home and that. But he has a difficult time with the stroke aphasia aspect of it, that it's difficult for him to communicate in that. But I know that it probably is. But I had talked to him some years ago, and just told him about the struggles, and he understood and everything else. And he also understands that, you've got to make the right decision that's best for, the family and those involved. So.
Maybe very presumptuous of me to even think this, but in a way, maybe it's better that he doesn't have a full understanding of what's going on.
I think so. It would be definitely something that it's very sad. But, he's had a great full life, and we've had a great run in regards to the 52 years that we've been in business. And we're grateful and we're thankful for all the customers that did give us all their business, and we earned it, and for that we're truly grateful and blessed for that.
Do you ever have any famous athletes shop at Johnny Mac's?
Oh, it's that's the other great memories. I remember when Bob Costas came into this store, and Gene McNary with baseball teams, and. Ozzie Smith, and we would always have. In fact, last week should have been our baseball expo for the last so many years. we would always have a player come in, and we wouldn't charge. It'd be our baseball expo, and they'd sign autographs for the kids. It was great.
Clearly, Johnny Max is going to be missed. Bob MacArthur, thank you for being with us. Congratulations on all those 50 years. You're a big part of most of it, and we appreciate that. The best to you.
Thank you, Don.
Right. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.